This is the Shrimps Verdicts podcast. All opinions expressed are those of the individual contributors and not necessarily those of either Morecambe Football Club or of Beyond Radio.
Every kick, every game, every goal. Full match commentary of Morecambe FC on Beyond Radio. This is Shrimps Live from Beyond Radio.
Long, and that clearance has found Hakeem Adeleike, who's going to try and set Molyneux away here. Left-hand side, it's a goal for Doncaster Rovers. We've been caught on the sucker punch on the counter-attack. Long ball out from the back, and it's the Lincoln City loanee, Hakeem Adeleike. First-time ball midway inside the Morecambe half on the right. We hadn't got back from our own offensive corner. Luke Molyneux provides the finishing touch at the back post. And on 12 minutes, it's Morecambe 0, Doncaster Rovers 1. Not the start we were hoping for.
Nah, very disappointing. You know, to go from such a strong position, two corners in a row, Charlie Brown with the corner and, almost causing loads of a lot of problems in that goal, almost dropping over the goal line. And it's just one long throw. Tsunda doesn't deal with it, and then it's a great ball in, and yeah, it's too easy, you know. Molyneux to bring that down and finish it. It's a good finish, but we've just been caught massively on the counter there. And
Matt Cray, his left Gwion Edwards in his wake, who does well to get back.
And
I thought he won the ball now, I have to say, and Gwion is going to be a bit disappointed that the referee has thought otherwise there. Jed Brannan's definitely disappointed with that decision.
Yeah, I thought Gwion just won the ball there, but the referee didn't think otherwise.
I suppose it's always that one, isn't it, where you go in from the side or from behind and you're sliding in like that. Slightest little touch perhaps goes the way of the attacker, but this is worrying moments here in the 23rd minute. You fancy a shot up and over the wall, left foot of Luke Molyneux. Perhaps it is Molyneux who goes round the wall and into the bottom corner. Two for Molyneux this afternoon. And it's Doncaster Rovers who double their advantage. Morecambe are going to be furious that the free kick was awarded in the first place. Looked a soft one for a trip by Gwion Edwards on the edge of the area. Molyneux, left-footed, curled it round the wall, past the right arm of Archie Mayer. Morecambe 0, Doncaster Rovers 2, 23rd minute.
Yeah, ultimately, I don't think it really was a foul. I think Gwion got the ball, but obviously, at the end of the day, the referee's given it, and it's a good finish from Molyneux to get the ball round the wall and into the goal. It's always dangerous when you've got a player of that quality, of Luke Molyneux, who's very good with set pieces, and it's fair play. Sometimes you just got to hold your hands up, and it's a good finish.
Senior is going to chip towards the penalty spot. It beats everybody and finds Jordan Slew. Drives it across.
Jed Garner
can't tap it in. Jed Garner needs to tap that in really and make it 2-1.
Massive opportunity.
Adams, 25 yards out. Here's JJ McKiernan. Angle's a bit tight for a shot, but he's still got the ball inside the penalty area. JJ.
Oh, that's a great save.
That's a brilliant save by Lotetala.
Great save from Lotetala. Brilliant play from JJ McKiernan.
Joe Adams with the effort, eight yards out, and that's taken until the 89th minute to test the Doncaster keeper. Low down to his right hand side. Good tip round the post.
Poor pass and now
straight
sets
ball by
away.
Kumbeni.
In behind.
Two against one. It's Biami. Here comes Tommy Rowe to put the game to bed for Doncaster Rovers. Sloppy pass in the middle of the park by Nelson Kumbeni, and it was all too easy really. It was a nice through butter. They had a man over on the overload. Biami slipped it into his fellow substitute Tommy Rowe, and he's not going to have an easier finish all season really, smashing it past Archie Mayer from 5 yards out. Points in the bag and six straight wins for Grant McCann's men at Morecambe 0, Doncaster Rovers 3.
Yeah, it's disappointing. We had the ball on the edge of their penalty box, ends up getting recycled, comes back, Nelson Kumbeni gets it. It's just one sloppy pass, and when it's this late in the game and you get caught pushing so many players forward, one pass through the middle after Nelson gives it away, and it's easy enough, ball gets sprayed across, and it's an easy finish really, and that puts the game to bed. It's a disappointing game, and you can see, you know, a lot of the fans leaving now, and that's it, game done.
Sucker punch goal really. Edwards, Hawula. Flag stays down. Jordi Hawula's put it wide. It absolutely sums up Morecambe's afternoon, that. Flag stayed down. Jordi Hawula put clean through by Gwion Edwards.
He has to score.
If he hits the target, it's only 3-1. It would have not made a blind bit of difference to the outcome of the game this afternoon. And Hawula has not even worked the keeper.
Reaction to the action. This is the Shrimps' verdict on Beyond Radio.
Lotatala goes low, out of his hands, and it's been a very, very bad day at the office for Jed Brannan this Saturday afternoon. Shakes the hand of the Doncaster Rovers manager, Grant McCann. And we were the makers of our own downfall, really, today. The Shrimps, we didn't get out of first gear at all. It was Luke Molyneux with a brace in the first half. First goal on 12 minutes, and we were caught with a sucker punch breakaway, really. Molyneux down the right-hand side from a monster throw from the goalkeeper. He crossed it from Adelarkin, and Molyneux just completed the job at the back post. 2-0 with a great free kick on the edge of the area on 23 minutes to make it 2-0 at the break. We thought Morecambe might come out fighting in the second half, but it just didn't happen for us, really. Couldn't get going. It was not until the 89th minute when we tested the Doncaster Rovers goalkeeper. As comfortable as it gets, really, for Grant McCann's men. It was 3-0 in stoppage time. A bit of a breakaway goal. Tommy Rowe providing the finishing touch from just a few yards out. And Morecambe's day summed up by Jordy Hawula's horrible miss against his former club. Deep in stoppage time, sprung the offside trap from McGuion Edwards' pass, but couldn't hit the target. Went through one-on-one. Stu Moore, the Morecambe goalkeeper, alongside us this afternoon. And Stu, it's gone as bad as it could have possibly have gone today, really.
Yeah, it's a disappointing one, Dave, to be honest. It's not what we would have wanted at all. I think it's one of those. The lads have gone out and give it everything, fair play to them, but we haven't been at the races today, and that's the way it's gone. Doncaster came here, they played better than us, they were sharper than us, and we just couldn't get it going. And it's very disappointing, like I say, when you get back yourself back in the race for the playoffs, and then can't fault any of the boys, to be honest. But ultimately, it's when you're having an off day. It's one of those, you know, you can't afford to have any off days at this time of the season. That's just what we've had. It's, you know, it didn't quite work for us. Our touch wasn't quite there. The passing wasn't quite there. We didn't really work. Joe Adams probably worked Lotatala once, but apart from that, we didn't really trouble him. And it's disappointing. It really is. And now, like I said this before, it takes it out of our hands now. We have to go win 4 out of 4, and it's as simple as that. And even that may not be enough now. But it is what it is, and that's the way we've been all season. You know, we've lost a couple, we've won a couple, and then, yeah, hopefully, you know, we do go win 4 out of 4, and you never know, but it's just...
Stranger things have happened during the season, haven't they, the way it's gone.
We're not out of it yet, and, you know, just keep supporting us, and as I said, we'll give it everything, whether that's enough or not, who knows, we're just going to see. Ultimately, we want to finish as high as we can up this table, and if that gets us playoffs, brilliant. If it doesn't, then, you know, we would have killed to be in this position, you know, at the start of the season.
I think that's the thing, Stu, isn't it? Given everything that's happened, and everybody listening to this right now will know everything that's happened at Morecambe Football Club in recent times. So we don't need to repeat that because everybody knows the situation. But given that, we would have taken this at the start of the season. There's absolutely no question about that. But that doesn't take away from today's disappointment. We needed to have a good performance today, and unfortunately we've had an absolute stinker just at the wrong moment.
Yeah, definitely, you know, it's one of those, everything off the pitch, you know, away from all that, you've just got to forget that. It is what it is, and we've had a few moments in the season that you think, obviously all the lone players going back, and we've had so many sort of like moments where you think, oh, that's really going to corrupt the squad, and it hasn't. We've put everything in, and there's been a few shock results, like in good ways and bad ways, and I think it just sums up our season. We go lose a game by multiple goals, but then we'll have some unbelievable results. So who knows? There's stranger things that could happen. It's just so frustrating because you know what this team can do, and you know how much I believe in this team is crazy. Yeah. I think every player on that pitch is unbelievable, but just when you're having a bad day, and you know, so many players out there today, it just didn't quite work. It's not necessarily they had a bad day, but it just didn't quite work out, and ultimately they were sharper than us. So yeah, it's a frustrating day. All we can do is put it behind us now, learn from it, and we go again Tuesday, and you know, another big game Tuesday.
Huge.
We have to recover well for that, and we have to go again, because it's not over till it's over.
Absolutely, Stuart. And this is the thing, isn't it? It's not over till it's over. Let's look at a positive. Farron Rawson back on the pitch today after his injury. JJ McKinnon looked bright and breezy when he came on for about half an hour or so. Looked okay. Got clattered within a few minutes of coming on, so we were a bit worried, but he looked okay. So that's like two new signings. Talk about yourself as well. You are right on the brink of being back in the first team pitch yourself. You may well even be in the squad on Tuesday. So there are one or two positives we can take, if not quite on the pitch today.
Yeah, definitely. You know, it's obviously it's great having JJ back and great having Faz back as well. You know, both big players, and you know, myself included, being back very soon. Hopefully Donald Love will be back before the end of the season. It is disappointing we couldn't get back a little bit sooner and obviously help out, but that's not to say, you know, we would have been in the squad. It's one of those, the players have done well that have been there, and you know, there's a reason why they've been playing week in, week out. And yes, it's frustrating that we've lost, but you know, we've just got to bounce back and go again. It's not the end of the world. It is very frustrating. It is very disappointing.
And that's I suppose ultimately, Jim, this is my final question to you. That's all you can do as a professional footballer is go again, put it behind you and go again the next time.
Yeah, 100%. You know, I'm disappointed more than anyone. I hate losing a game of football, and you know, I'll probably be grumpy for the rest of the day. I'll be grumpy tomorrow, but then, you know, Monday is a new week and new day, and you've got to start again. You've got to get yourself up for the game. But yeah, I absolutely despise losing a game of football. It really grinds on me and it really winds me up. But you know, even when I'm not playing, it disappoints me so much when I'm not playing as well and we lose. But ultimately, you can't do anything about it now. The game's done. Yeah. There's no good moping and, you know, dwelling on it. It is what it is. You've just got to go again and do everything you can to now win these remaining four games, because basically every game is a final now. And just because we win those four doesn't mean we, you know, we'll get playoffs, or just because we've lost today doesn't mean we won't get playoffs. Yeah. Ultimately, there's a lot that can happen. We've said it so many times. There's so many shock results. Literally anything can happen in this league, so you know, let's just keep getting behind the boys, keep doing what we're doing, and yeah, hopefully we'll get a few results and make for an interesting end to the season.
Stu, if this is the last time you're going to sit alongside me today, I just wanted to say thank you so much for your company and for your expertise over the last few months. It's been great to have you on co-commentary on Shrimps Live, but we cannot wait to have you back where you belong, in the first team squad.
No, it's been a pleasure, Dave, and thank you everyone for listening. It's been brilliant being here.
Morecambe goalkeeper Stuart Moore, thank you very much indeed, my friend.
Well, Jed, a 3-0 home defeat to Doncaster Rovers today. A tough afternoon for you.
Yeah, very disappointing, to be honest. We just never got going today. Very flat performance from us and from the very start, and obviously they deserved the win in the end.
They came into the game 5 unbeaten, and you could probably see why they'd achieved that.
I've just said that to their manager. I said it's no fluke why they've won 5 in a bounce. They're a good team, and they out-battled us all over the pitch today and run more than us, which was disappointing, the most disappointing thing for us. We just never come out the traps at all.
Frustrating all round in many ways for you.
Yeah, the only good thing from today was the crowd. The fans were really good, but the rest on the pitch, you know, it just wasn't good enough.
What do you put that down to?
I don't know. I'm trying to work it out myself. Whether we prepared right and the right for the right through, I don't know. There's that many things that can go wrong, whether it's mentally that we're going to, if we get a win, we get in the playoffs, I don't know. There's a lot of things you can see, but I just know one thing: the lads in the changing room, they're all great lads, and they'd never ever go mean to put a bad performance in. They'd always work hard for us, but today we're in our day.
The first goal was a bit of a killer, and it was actually, sometimes put your hand up, it was a good goal from them, wasn't it?
It was a good goal, but we've done analysis on them, and we know that they're good on the counter attack, and we warned them before the game that from our corner to be ready at the back, and we weren't, and they got away from us and got us on the counter and scored. So fair play to them, and bad decisions by us.
I don't want to discredit them, because I thought they were really good today, but they sort of knew the dark arts well. They knew when to put the bodies on the line and get the fouls and to niggle away. And did that frustrate your players?
It did, yeah. You've seen at the end if they waste time, which is fine, you know what I mean, they're going to waste time. Our lads, we had a few chances at the end, the keeper's gone down, wasting time. They're going to do all that when you're winning. They're an experienced team, so they know how to do all these little tricks, but we should be doing the same.
Was it frustrating as well that it was only really the last 5 minutes where you had some real good chances?
Yeah, JJ and Joe got going the last 5 minutes, and Guion, they could get the ball and run at them, and a few combinations just on the edge of their box, and we did have a few good chances. But again, the third goal, they caught us on the counter again. We're just pushing at them, and that all one where we get caught on the ball, and they have 3v2 and put the ball away.
frustrating as well for you that Crawley had such a good win at Mansfield, Wimbledon win as well. The results just didn't go your way today.
Well, no, we know it's a hard time. We've had a great season, to be fair. I don't think anyone can complain about the way we've performed after what we've gone through this year. So it was a hard one. We knew it was going to be tough. We know Crawley are a good side, and for them to go to Mansfield and win was it 4-1? Fair play to them. You can't do nothing about that.
A real positive for you and for the Morecambe fans was to see JJ McKeown back on the pitch.
Yeah, it's great to see JJ. I could have got him on the last game, but he's just a bit too early for him. But I thought I'd give him a go today and see how he gets on. He's done really well when he come on. You see he's lacking fitness, but you see he's still a top player, can't you?
How's he feeling now?
He's okay. He's available for Tuesday, so we'll go in Monday, decide what to do and whether to play him or bring him on sub again.
You mentioned Tuesday, really quick turnaround again. Crew at home.
Yeah, I'm quite happy with that, to be honest. Put things right, what we got wrong today, and we've just had a good conversation in the change room there, and the lads are really, really disappointed because they know what a good chance we had today, and Tuesday's going to be another tough game, so we've got to dust ourselves down and get going again.
Well, Jake, a 3-0 home defeat to Doncaster Rovers today, a tough one for you this afternoon.
Yeah, really disappointing. I think they would just have more energy than us, put us under a lot of pressure to begin with. We didn't replicate the performances over the Easter weekend, and ultimately, you know, three poor goals, you know, you got punished for it.
It felt a bit like they played at your own game, because the last few weeks you've been pressing really high, really fast, really hard, winning second balls. That didn't happen in the first half today, did it?
It didn't, and I don't know why, really. We set up in the week to go and press them from goal kicks, because we know that's where their weakness is. They've, you know, give teams a chance. And we just didn't do it with any sort of, you know, real intensity that would affect it. You know, we'll go through it on Monday to see why and, you know, what we can improve on going into the game on Tuesday.
The first goal for them, it's 50-50 really. Was it bad defending or was it really good play from them? Great throw out from the keeper and a good finish in the end, I suppose.
Yeah, you got a point, but I think, you know, all the goals can, you know, were avoidable. You know, that's just human error. Myself included. You know, we've got to do better. You know, you can't go from one end to the other. You know, you've got to shore up at the back. You know, obviously it's the same goals for the free kick, and obviously when we're chasing the game they're going to hit us on the counter attack, but I thought in transition we were poor today. Too many spaces, and you know, something we've got to improve on going forward.
The second goal from the free kick, it was hard to understand how it worked, how it happened from here. What was your thoughts on it? Did it go around the wall, through the wall? Was it?
I think so. Yeah. But initially, I asked, did it go through the wall? Because obviously, if it, you know, they just look poor if they go through the wall. But I think, I don't know if Archie's set up the wall right, or maybe just, you know, a bit of quality on the day. But you know, such a disappointing goal to give away because you go 2-0 down and you got a mountain to climb. But yeah.
After a great Easter weekend, there's five games still to go. You're still not out of it. Tuesday's they're all big games, but Tuesday now becomes a really big game.
Yeah, exactly. We've just got to dust ourselves down and, you know, go again. I spoke to you a week or two ago. You know, we've just got to win every single game that we can, put pressure on the teams above us, and hoping they slip up now.
You obviously beat Crewe a few weeks ago after being 2-0 down there as well, so hopefully the same again without going 2 down first.
Yeah, it would help. You know, in any game like today, it's just, you know, you can't keep coming back from 2 goals down. It's just impossible. It's not sustainable. We've got to start games better, starting on Tuesday.
Nice to see JJ back today.
Yeah, it was. It was. Obviously, gives us an added option going in the top half of the pitch. He was flying before his injury, and hopefully he can recapture that form in the remaining games.
Might be a silly question. Dressing room deflated at the end?
Yeah, disappointing because we've missed a huge opportunity again. I think every time we've got ourselves back in contention, we kind of just slip on a banana skin again. It's just disappointing, but you know, nothing we can do about it now. We've just got to try and go into the last four games and try and win them all.
It's the Shrimps Verdict podcast, part of Shrimps Live on Beyond Radio. This is Dave Salmon. Thanks so much as ever for downloading this episode. Always appreciated. In just a tick, we'll look ahead to Crewe Alexandra's trip to the Mazuma Mobile Stadium on Tuesday night. Full match commentary, of course, as ever, right here on Shrimps Live. But recently, Morecambe's Community Sports was recognised at the EFL Community Awards for 2024. Now, club captain Farron Rawson won the League Two AFL Player in the Community Award after being acknowledged for his ability to carry his influence on the pitch into his community work and generally spread enthusiasm and the importance of player support into the first team dressing room. I've been catching up with Faz to find out all about the way he's been supporting school projects, Christmas, organising players' donations to the Royal Lancaster Infirmary and many other things besides.
So found EFL League 2 Community Player of the Year. I mean, they must be very proud about that.
No, definitely. I'm personally really happy and I'm proud, and I'm happy for the club as well, because it shows the how hard we've been working around the community, trying to get everyone involved and show that this club can be a massive beacon for people to find something interesting on all ages. So no, I'm really happy. I'm obviously really proud that my name's been put into it as well. So no, buzzing.
And I suppose when you add it all up, you do quite a lot. I was looking at through some of the things. Christmas presents for the kids at the Royal Lancaster Infirmary, going to schools, all of the other outreach stuff that we do. So you are pretty busy, really.
No, yeah. I, like I say, not just me. A lot of the boys in there are all the same. And the little things we can do to help, I'll always do. I'll always try and go above and beyond and try help people when needed. And no, I think it's just the small satisfactions you get with the smiles on the faces. And like you're saying, is we're in privileged positions, and I think all of us, we all notice that. And if you can make someone's day or make them feel special for 5 seconds or however long, then amazing. And that's the plan, yeah.
And I suppose that's the point, isn't it? They don't necessarily have to be Morecambe fans or necessarily even heard of the club or heard of you as a player or anybody else in the squad that's doing it. It's the fact that you're making the effort, you're going out into the community, and you do genuinely make a difference just by being there for half an hour. That puts the smile on the face.
No, 100%. I think you've hit the nail on the head there. And if we can go out however many times a month or how many times a year and go out into the schools and show presence, I think all the players out in the Football League today will always have that one experience where it might not be football related, like you say, but where someone's come out and breached out to them and made them feel special in whatever way, and then that pushed them in that area to go and be successful in whatever way. So if me personally or any of the boys, if we can go out around Morecambe and put smiles on faces and help kids in any way they need help or any people at any age, and maybe even motivate them to be the next Morecambe star, you know, be the next, I don't know, Adam Mayer or them kind of players to come up next, then amazing.
I suppose that's important, isn't it? It's not just the outreach, it's the fact that you might then inspire the next generation of supporter or player, and that kind of completes the circle, really.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like I said, it's not just to young people, it's all ages, but if we're talking about young people, they've got a tough test at the moment, you know, with the way things are going in the world and stuff. And if you can give them some motivation and help them settle in and put a smile on the face and give them something to look forward to, and also it helps the club as well, because if you can inspire new fans to come and join the amazing fans we've already got, then it's a bonus. So no, all round it's amazing for everyone. Morecambe's an amazing place, and they've got a great fan base, and they obviously schools are doing the best around here, and it's nice to see and it's nice to be a part of.
What made you want to get involved in the community side of it in the first place?
No, I'm one of four. I've got two kids of my own, and I love nothing more than, you know what I mean, making them smile. And do you know what I mean? And I understand we've all been there. Like I said, I've been there myself, where people come in and you're blown away and you're so excited. And I feel like the least we can do is put that little bit of effort into them and show them that what they deserve, give them that little bit that they need. And like you say, it could change their lives in some way. So.
And I've seen the footage of you. You went around to school with Jack, and I think somebody was teaching you about the Stone Age and the footage.
You learn something new
absolutely. And you could really see that the whole room just lit up just by you walking into it. And whether it's that or whether it's Christmas presents at the infirmary in the children's ward, it that's what makes the difference. I suppose that's what ultimately makes it so worthwhile.
No. Exactly that. It's amazing. And like you say, the hospital visits and stuff like that, they're they mean a little bit more, obviously, because, do you know what I mean? I think that's when you realise how privileged you really are. And like I said, it's good for me as well, because you meet some amazing characters, you meet some amazing people along the way. Me and Stu went to a hospice and I met some amazing people there who had some amazing stories, following Morecambe for long before probably I was born. So it was amazing to sit there, listen. And like I say, I always feel like if you can take 1% from everyone, whatever that is, you can grow yourself and make yourself a better person.
And finally, Faz, I suppose with things going well on the pitch at the moment as well, there's no better time to do this kind of work, because it's a great time for new fans to want to be part of the club.
Oh, no, definitely. I agree with that. It's going really well on the pitch at the moment and the boys are doing amazing. And like I say, yeah, if the more we can build the atmosphere in here, which is already really good, but the more we can build it and make it bigger and better and show that anyone come to the game, doesn't matter who you are, everyone's welcome, and to show that it's a really good day out in a way, that's only benefits us on the pitch, and it benefits everyone, the atmosphere, and it benefits the area.
That's the Shrimps captain, Farron Rawson, talking to me after he was named the League 2 EFL Player in the Community for 2024. For everything he does off the pitch, we know how good a player is on the pitch, of course, but Faz has been heavily involved in all sorts of off-the-field activities, working with Morecambe FC Community Sports. Now, let's look ahead to the Shrimps' next game. It's Crewe Alexandra coming to the Mazuma Mobile Stadium on Tuesday night. Goes without saying that it's another enormous game for different reasons for both sides. We trying to get into the playoffs and Crewe trying to not slip out of the playoffs. I think their automatic promotion hopes have probably all but disappeared, but you never know with just a handful of games left to go in the League 2 season. Ahead of the match, I've been talking to Jack. Jack is a huge Crewe Alexandra fan. He lives in Indonesia because that's where his life and his work has taken him, but he's followed the Alex home and away for many, many years, and the ideal man to get the full lowdown on Lee Bell's men. I remember back earlier in the season at Cresty Road, that was one of our amazing 3-2 away day comebacks. Hopefully it's not going to be quite as dramatic as that on Tuesday night, but the ideal man to get the lowdown on the Alex head of their trip there this coming Tuesday. 7:45 kickoff if you're heading down to the Mazuma Mobile Stadium. If you're not, full match commentary, of course, you can listen for free on Shrimps Live on Beyond Radio, and listen and watch and subscribe via I Follow Shrimps. So let's have a natter with Jack from Standing Alone. Jack, thanks for jumping back on the pod again, mate. Really appreciate it. Before we get going, tell us everything we need to know about Standing Alone. What is it? Where can we find it?
Yeah, it's just it's a blog and a podcast that I just run by myself. Hence the name a little bit. It comes from our song Blue Moon. Next words, of course, are Standing Alone. So I thought, be a bit clever with it. Maybe not. I decided to create this a couple of years ago, and just my own opinions about things, part of my own opinions about stuff, good and bad. And sometimes people agree, often people disagree, but it's what football's all about, I think.
Those opinions can be quite forthright sometimes, can't they? I suppose that's what it's all about, though.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm not like a crusader or anything like that. I'm not trying to I'm going to pile hot takes into the universe. But, I've always tried to be myself, genuinely. Whether it's positive or negative, I've always tried to be myself. I don't just go along with the crowd and agree with what everyone else is saying. I do try and look at things, maybe a slightly different way. And yeah, sometimes, sometimes people agree with that. And like I said, sometimes people disagree, but I think every fan base has people like that have got, sometimes very different opinions to the rest of the group, but I don't think there's anything wrong with having a different view on things at times.
And I'm talking to you, you're in Indonesia, Jack. How come a Crewe fan gets to the other side of the world?
gets lost, I think. Yeah, no. I moved out into Asia about 5.5 years ago to become an English as a second language teacher over here, because I wanted to travel and see the world. So that's what I did. And I've been out here since August 2018. Enjoying it so far. We'll see how long much more I do, because I might be tempted to come back to Blighty in the future, but we'll see. But for now, yeah, I'm enjoying it out here. And the weather's very different, much better than the UK by the sounds of it. I've been told that it's been very wet and cold over the last few weeks, so certainly can't complain about the weather here, which is much nicer.
Yeah, it's not just weeks. I think it's permanent, to be honest, chap. Yeah. Well, on Saturday it's meant to be all right, but for one day only. So it's not been too long, has it, Jack, since we last played each other? I thought it was, for the neutral, it was a good game of football, but not so good for yourselves, particularly in the second half. You fell victim to one of our amazing away day comebacks.
I don't know what you're talking about. We were 2-0 up after 65 minutes. I turned the TV off and that's all I remember. 2-0. There we go. Good win for us. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. It could prove to be the negative turning point in our season. Up until that 65th minute, we were looking fine. It was like we were going for the top three. If we'd have got the 3 points in that game, we would have been close up behind the top three. We were looking great. But something just clicked. And, definitely give credit to Morecambe. You know, you guys didn't give up and you got three quick fire goals. And it was a really impressive comeback. I think you guys almost lulled us into a false sense of security because for 65 minutes, it didn't look like you had it in you at all. You looked like you were going to roll over and die. And I thought, we're on the way to three comfortable points here. We're looking great. We'd gone 2-0 up. Mickey Demetriou had a header just go wide. Thought, oh, that's close to 3-0. We were looking good. And then, yeah, just something flipped in our minds and something flipped in your minds and everything just flipped on its head. And since then, we've not looked the same. We have not looked the same at all. We've looked very shaky for the last 5-6 games, whatever it's been between the time we played each other. And we just haven't recovered from that. I don't know if it's mental or physical. I think the players are starting to run out of energy a little bit. I think the mentality is starting to get shaky a bit. And that's the thing. We'd never looked like that in any of the previous 33 games before we played you. But then that collapse, I think, really brought back some bad memories of teams of old where we've just folded like a deck of cards. And we've just not recovered since. We had a scrappy win against Sutton. We've had a couple of scrappy points against Gillingham and Wimbledon. But the rest of it has just been a real slog. We got destroyed by MK Dons. We comfortably lost to Doncaster, although they're beating everybody right now. And yeah, we lost horribly, horribly to Forest Green on Monday. It was a shocking performance. The manager botched his tactics. The team just didn't show up. And to be fair, Forest Green, they put on a good performance and they deserved the 3 points. But we were just atrocious in that game. So, you know, if you'd have asked me 6 weeks ago how confident I was going into the Morecambe game next week, I'd have said very. But now I'm thinking it could be if things go wrong, you could be taking our playoff place. If the results go your way on Saturday and then you beat us on Tuesday, it could be that you're stealing our playoff place if we don't recover from this. So suddenly it's looking like a very big game.
Well, we spoke not so long ago. And when we spoke before the reverse fixture, you were not on target for automatic promotion by any stretch, but you were well in the hunt for a top three. And like you say, now the gap between yourselves and eight, as we speak, the caveat we're speaking on Thursday before our respective Saturday games ahead of our clash on the Tuesday. But as we speak right now, that gap to being out of the playoffs, not let alone automatics, is now just 6 points. Like you say, it can quickly turn around in less than a week. And I suppose that sums up the League Two season as a whole to an extent, that roller coaster. But it seems to have unravelled really, really quickly. What do you put that down to, Jack?
Honestly, I don't know. I think it's a combination of things. You know, look, I've been quite harsh on our manager, Lee Bell, you know, probably too harsh, probably harsher than most other fans. And maybe I should be, you know, easier on him and give him more credit. But I do honestly think that the last, you know, I think it all started with that Morecambe game, ironically. I think, you know, he wasn't on the touchline for that game. And I think it was our assistant. I don't know how much input he had into the subs because he was serving a touchline ban. And I don't know how much of his input was going into the substitutions. But I think one of the things that went wrong on that day was we got complacent. We thought the points were in the bag. We thought 2-0 up, we're cruising, we're not looking like any danger of a comeback here, we're fine. And I think against, you know, no offense to you, but I think a better team like a Stockport or a Mansfield, I think we'd have been a bit more cautious. But we got sloppy, we got lazy, and you guys took advantage of that and embarrassed us on the day. And I think since then, they've been chasing their tails, trying to find a way to stop the rot. And it's just, you know, it's been one poor decision after another. They've gone for some very weird formations, some very weird selections. And I just don't think any of it's worked. They've had a few, like I said, scrappy results. But honestly, I can't think of a game where they've really genuinely played well since then. I think the injuries are starting to catch up with us a little bit. We've been missing some key players in midfield and attack, and that's been a real issue that we've not been able to get, you know, a group of attackers and midfielders out on the pitch every single week, bar one or two. So then that's been a real issue. And I think some of our key players are just starting to feel the pace of the season. Mickey Demetriou, he's been our player of the season by far. He's been off his game the last 3 or 4 weeks. He was quite poor in that Morecambe game, actually. I think he scored an own goal, I think it was, for the third goal. And he's just been uncharacteristically poor the last 4 or 5 weeks. And his levels have dropped, and so have a few of the others. You know, we've not got many players who I'd say are genuinely in good form right now. And I think as a collective, it's not one or two positions, it's the collective. Their levels have just dropped. And you know, with the injuries and the management decisions, I think it's just all sort of playing a part in our struggles at the moment, which is yeah, it's a concern.
Now, given the fact, Jack, that you got to the position where you were playing a certain way, is it a surprise to you that he's tinkered with things so much? To me, as a fan, I would think, well, we've played 35 odd games playing a certain system predominantly, and it's got us to here. So we stick to what we know, we get through a rough patch, and hopefully we go again and come on strong towards the end of the season. But from what you've said, it's almost being changed a bit too much.
Well, this is the thing, though. This is the funny thing. This is where not my criticism, but this is where my concern has always lay. Even with the good results, even when we were playing well in January and February, even then, some of my concerns were always that if you ask a Crewe fan, what's the best system this team has got? I genuinely don't think you can answer that because I genuinely think there's lots of different systems they played. We started playing 4-3-3 at the start of the season. Then we flipped to a three at the back up until about Christmas time. Then we reverted back to a 4-3-3. He's played a 4-2-3-1, 4-4-2, you name it. He's probably played it or a variation of it in the last, throughout the season. So genuinely, I think, and look, part of that is injuries and a lack of depth in certain areas. So I'm not saying it's all the manager's fault. He's had to sometimes just go with what he's got. And sometimes he's think, well, what I've got available can only play this system. So I think he's had to, it's not all his fault. I will say that. But genuinely, I don't think we've had a settled system and a settled team for most of the season. Like, not to go in too into depth, but like you go through our positions, we've had to change our goalkeeper halfway through. Our right back has been a constant chop and change. Our right centre back, we sold him in January and we've had to replace him. Our midfield has been a constant changing of players because of injuries and issues. Up front, we've only really had Elliot Knevitt, who's had any sort of decent season. The others, again, have been in and out of the team. Tracy, Rowe, Long, Kirk, they've been in and out of the group. So for the most part, yeah, we've not really had a settled team in midfield and up front, and even in some positions at the back as well. So again, maybe that's why I should give him more credit, because we have had a rotating cast of players, except for Demetriou on the left-hand side and Riyad Abissi at left back. We've not really had a settled, stable 40 appearance player in any of the other positions. It's been 20 for him, 10 for him, 15 for him. So it's been a real mixed bag. And I think that's been part of the problem. And again, I'm not saying that's the manager's fault either. I think that's partly, excuse me, it's partly the injuries, the system and everything. But that's my concern, is that we've not really had a settled system and he's had to chop and change. And I think now, he's chopping and changing as he's done already. But unfortunately, now the players haven't been able to get the results to sort of, cover for those changes. So yeah, it's just a yeah, it's a concern at the moment.
So with five games of the season to go, though, Jack, where are you in relation to where you thought you'd be or where you hoped you would be before a ball was kicked at the start of the season?
Again, and this is where I probably am too harsh on Bell and too harsh on the club and the team as a whole, because yeah, and the people are right to point this out to me. They say to me, look, we'd have all taken being sixth with five games to go at the end of the, and yeah, that's absolutely true. Of course I would have been. But I was expecting lower mid-table. I wasn't expecting what the pundits thought. I think the pundits thought we'd be bottom six, bottom four. A couple had us to struggle badly. I didn't think we'd struggle that badly. I thought, some of the signings we made in the summer, we would be mid-table, lower mid-table, maybe sneak into the top half. So yeah, on that basis, on that context, I would have happily taken sixth at the start, at the end, at this point in the season. No doubt about it. We've been fantastic to be in the playoff position. But reverse back to just before the Morecambe game, or even at 65 minutes in the Morecambe game at home. We were pushing for third. We were sat third in the table, I think, at that point. And yeah, that was still a bit of a pipe dream for me. I still think Wrexham, Mansfield, and Stockport would have pulled away from us eventually, and even MK Dons. But I think this is my problem, is that, yeah, back in August, I'd have taken sixth. But where we were at that point in the season, coming into that Morecambe game back at the start of March, we were looking much better than this. We'd just come off some good wins against Stockport, Mansfield, Barrow. We were looking like one of the best teams in the division. And that's my concern, is that we've dropped not just to a mid-table team, we've dropped to what looks like a relegation team. And I said the performance we put in against Forest Green was disturbing. All the struggles in March, you could almost put it aside and say, okay, let's wipe it clean, forget about it. We're coming into a very poor Forest Green team. Not saying we should, it's an automatic win, but we should be putting on a reasonable performance and getting a result. And not only did we struggle, we got destroyed. They should have been 4-0 up before the halftime whistle. We had to make changes, after about 35 minutes. It was a train wreck, an absolute train wreck. And that's the concern. Not so much the performances that came before it. It was the Forest Green game that I think has really worried some fans, in the like, if you're going to get battered by Forest Green of all teams, and again, no disrespect to them. They were good on the day and they deservedly won, but they're not a good team. They are bottom of the league for a reason. They're probably going to go down for a reason. And we made them look unbelievable. And that's where my concern lies. I think that's why going into the Accrington game on Saturday, and more especially the Morecambe game, I'm concerned, because you guys have started to click back into form now. A couple of wins on the board for you. Good win against Barrow, obviously, on Monday. Local derby, getting the 3 points there. It's concerning now, because suddenly, as I said, if results go your way and against us on Saturday, then suddenly that game on next Tuesday is looking like one of those where you could close up to level on points with us. So it's concerning.
Relatively speaking, Jack got 66 points now. I've been speaking to a lot of people about this, and for the last couple of weeks, how many points might be needed to get above the top seven line? Usually it's about 75, isn't it? I think it might be a few less this season with teams playing each other, 70, maybe 71, 72. On that basis, a win and a couple of draws from five games probably does you, which gives you that cushion, I suppose. But like you say, you still need those couple of results, don't you, to absolutely make sure.
Yeah, and that's the thing, that there's always a team every season that just drops off like a stone and plummets. And at the moment, that's looking like us. Now, I hope it's not. And again, and this is the frustrating thing, is we're so close. Like you said, we're so close. I think, like you, I agree. I think we're going to have, I think 72 points probably does it, because Crawley and yourselves and Gillingham, you're so far behind. Well, I say so far, 6 points is not so far, but you are two full wins behind with only five or four games to go for some teams. So on that basis, then it's very much in our hands, and all we need, like you said, is 4 points, maybe 6 points to get in there. So we go to Accrington on Saturday and we win, and then we maybe get a result against you, a draw, and then suddenly things are looking very rosy. So it can flip the other way, and that's the thing for us. It has kind of been that season where we've looked great up until a point, like we did it up until about November, Christmas time, where we looked great up until November, and then we sort of hit a wall and we struggled over Christmas, and then we came back in January and had a good run of form up until February. March has been a disaster, and April's not been so good so far. But yeah, if we can get a win on we're playing a struggling Accrington team who you guys went and beat a couple of weeks ago. So if Morecambe can beat Accrington, then I'd like to think that Crewe can. So if we get a result on Saturday, and you asked me on Monday about how I'm feeling, then I'm much more confident. But at the moment, like I said, we just don't look like we could fight our way out of a paper bag. So I'm kind of just thinking I'll take anything I can get at this point. A couple of draws in the next two, I'll take that at this stage.
So what do we need to know that's different about the team that we faced not so long ago? Personnel wants to watch, injuries. Where are you at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, just thinking back to that game, trying to remember like what the team was. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be pretty much the same, to be honest with you. Well, the big difference will be our keeper, Tom Booth. You played against Harvey Davis, and I think honestly that was kind of what started all that whole game. The comeback in that game was that first goal that Morecambe scored. It was a bit of a soft one for the keeper to let in. It sort of went through him a little, and this has been the problem with Harvey Davis this season. He's let a few soft ones in, like right under his body or in and around his body. And Lee Bell immediately switched to the other keeper, our homegrown keeper, Tom Booth. So you'll be seeing him for the first time. He's looked pretty solid in the games he's played so far. He's played about 10 or 15 games. So he's looked pretty solid, and he'll probably hopefully be a better option than Davis. So hopefully we won't be conceding any soft ones. But for the most part, just looking back at that team, I'm just looking through the team sheet here that we had for that game, and it'll be pretty similar in terms of players. It could be almost, I'm just looking here who we had. I mean, we've got Ed Turns, who's he picked up an injury on Monday. He might not be fit for this game, but he could be. I don't know. But for the most part, it could actually be the same 11, the same start 11 that we you saw in that game back at the start of March, and pretty much similar in terms of the bench options as well. So yeah, for the most part, I don't think it's going to be too different. I think it's going to be pretty similar, because we haven't had any major injuries since then, touch wood. But yeah, so for the moment, it looks like it's going to be pretty similar squad. So yeah, you're going to be having the danger men of Nevitt and Tracy, of course, who got the goals against you last time. So they'll be the threats to watch out for. But like I said, the whole team as a whole is struggling right now. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, Charlo Tracy scored a great goal to make it 2-0, didn't he? When he cut in and curled it into the top corner. So we know the threat that he has. Elliot Nevitt's not scored the volume of goals that he's got for no reason. I know Chris Long's knows where the net is when his head's in the right place. So you have got that attacking threat, but it sounds very much as well, Jack, as if we can get at you, we can get our pacey counter-attack game going, and that's going to cause you problems.
Yeah, and again, that's the funny thing. Yeah, like I mean, I will say this. I almost feel like our home form and our away form need to be judged separately, because I genuinely think, like I said, I've said this to a few Crewe fans, and some agree, some disagree, but I genuinely think our home form has been quite shaky this season. I know we've got the results at home that are a bit better than away from home, but I genuinely think we've won at home by being pragmatic, by being just very workmanlike. Whereas away from home, we've actually, you know, if you go back through our performances and you look at like our away results, we've performed much better on the road. We've got our best results on the road. We went to Notts County and won. We went to, you know, Stockport, Mansfield, Barrow. We've beaten three promotion chasers. We almost beat Wrexham at their place, the race course, you know, but we only conceded in the last minute against them. So aside from MK Dons, we've got results on the road against every other side in the top seven this season. Even Gillingham, we got a point against. So I should be feeling more confident. And again, if we get a win against Accrington, then suddenly I think the whole mindset and the mentality of the club and the players hopefully changes to the point where we're looking at the Morecambe game and thinking, you know what, we can snatch a win or we can get a draw out of this. But again, you guys are just, it's hard for me to judge the game because I don't know what Morecambe are going to do. Like, you know, you had a good start, then you fell off a bit, and then obviously, you know, your manager left, and then half your squad left in January, then you brought a whole new squad in, and then you lost, what was it, four in a row, and now you've won two in a row. What Morecambe are going to show up is my question.
Yeah, absolutely. What I would say though there, Jack, is we have, similar to yourselves, we've taken points off everybody above us in the table. We've beaten Crawley twice, we've beaten Barrow, we've beaten yourselves. Obviously, apart from Wrexham, Wrexham did double over us, of course, but we've taken points off Stockport and off Mansfield as well, who are probably going to go put both of those automatically. So I think, like you say, it all depends what more can turn up, really. So it's certainly going to be interesting. I suppose from your point of view, though, Jack, you of your games that you've got left, you'd probably want some, I suppose you'd call them on the beach games, wouldn't you, where you can think, well, do you know what? Opposition are taking the foot off the pedal. We can probably get results, but you've still got us, you've still got to play Wrexham, and you're going to have a big say at who goes down as well, because you've got Grimsby and Colchester. So most of the games that you've got left have something riding on them.
The thing is, I've never been one of these subscribers to the on the beach sort of games, because to me, they almost worry me more than, in a stupid way, they almost worry me more than the ones again with teams with something to play for, because those teams can go into that game. You're right, they're not going to put in that, you know, that extra yard, that extra bit of work. But on the flip, I've seen us lose plenty of times to teams that have been on the beach, technically. I mean, I remember, I think it was a few, it was like, this was something like 10, 15 years ago. I think we played, was it Oldham, I think it was? I can't remember who it was. We played a team who was supposed to be on the beach. They'd already, their season was done. They were mid-table, and we needed a win from the final day to stay up or whatever it was. And we just flopped. We flopped completely in that game. So I've seen us lose plenty of games against on the beach teams. So if anything, I almost don't mind playing the teams with something to play for. So yeah, but yeah, you're right. Yeah, we've got a lot of teams against, you know, a lot of games against teams who have something to play for. Again, you know, you guys, I don't know if it works in our favour that you guys have got two wins and now suddenly you are just outside the playoffs, if that's going to work in our favour and lead to, a cagier game from you than if you'd have lost those two games and you were basically, your season was done and dusted. So, you know, it's going to be interesting, because I think both teams are going to go into it quite nervous, aren't they? You know, we've got potentially a playoff place to hold on to. You guys have got, you know, a lose and maybe that's your season done kind of, vibe to it. But I suppose I should be more confident about this game, because I don't know if you knew this, but we've not actually lost at the Globe Arena ever.
Yes, I was aware of that, Jack. Yes, I'm glad you've brought that up.
So it's funny, with some grounds I've not seen, as we've not won out in like 30 years, and there's some grounds, I don't know what it is. We've only played you guys, I think we only played you once at Christie Park, and that was the famous 4-3 collapse. And we still talk about to this day as what the hell happened. So, you know, Crewe and Morecambe games are quite famous for late comebacks, I think. You know,
I was looking through the 4-3, Jack, at Christie, and I'd forgotten you were 3-1 up until the 88th minute. And then we scored 3-2 and then twice in stoppage, though. I couldn't remember it was that far into the match. But yeah, 95th minute winner.
And it gets worse. You were, I believe, I think I'm right in saying you had 10 men and we had a penalty to make it 4-1.
You did.
That we missed. We blew over the bar, and then the rest is history. And a certain Mr. Dave Artell, who then would become our manager, who signed for us the summer afterwards, he scored the winner, which again, he's not, he remembers quite well as well.
There's an iconic celebration where when the winner goes in, one of the fans runs down from the terrace behind the goal and offers him his glasses, and he puts the glasses on, and like, there's like an Eric Morecambe impression as he's like going along the touchline after he scored his. Anyway, that was many, many years ago, and lots of water's gone under the bridge since then.
But to be fair, like I said, you know, we've been able to flip the script a little bit, and we've had some memorable wins ourselves down there. You know, I remember, like, you know, again, I think it was the season after or the season after that, I forget it was, we won 2-1. It was Steve Davis's first league game in charge. We scored in the 94th minute through Max Clayton. I remember that game to this day, you know, screaming on the terrace. It was such a great performance. And we had, I think it was a Perry NG goal after like 85 minutes, I think it was, in one of the games where we won. So there's been a lot of late goals in Crewe versus Morecambe games, and a few comebacks as well. So, you know, obviously, if it's a Morecambe, maybe you guys feel like repaying us the favor. You can go 2-0 up, and we'll come back to win 3-2, and we'll call it even at the end of the season.
I'll be honest with you, Jack. If you look at the, I read a stat actually, and if games finished at half time in League Two, we would be third bottom at the moment. And that tells you how much that we come on strong towards the end of the match. So don't rule us out. If you are leading the game with 10 minutes to go, do not rule us out at all.
Maybe that's how we should play the game. We both sort of like offer, you know, you score first. No, you score first. No, you score first. It should be like that. Nobody wants to score first because we know the other team will come back and win.
Jack, always great to chat, mate. Last question before you go. Are you going to get in the playoffs? I mean, the answer is yes, obviously.
Oh God, what a question to end on. Like, so yeah, if you asked me 6 weeks ago, I'd have said 100% yes. I'm still going to say yes. I know I can be very pessimistic on social media, and I am a pessimistic person at heart. I get that, but yes, I still think we'll do it. I don't know how, I don't know how, where, but I think almost we could backdoor our way into it, whereby we just perform less bad than everybody else. We scrape a few draws in, and we somehow manage to get in on like 70 points because the teams below us, like yourselves and Crawley, can't quite get that form together to get past us. That's all, honestly, my biggest optimistic point at this point is that none of the teams below us, or the teams in eighth and below, including yourselves, look like you're going to go and rattle off 5 or 6 wins to get above us. That's my only takeaway. But again, ask me a week from now, and I could be saying something very, very different. So the next 2 games for both teams, I think, are going to be massive.
Jack, thanks very much indeed, mate. At Standing Alone 77 on Twitter, X, or search Standing Alone on socials or online. You're Standing Alone Crew. You'll see everything that Jack's got on his social media and on his blog and everything else he does online. So, Jack, good luck for the rest of the season, mate. And you never know, this might not be the last time that we play each other this season.
Yes, we could be talking again in the playoffs, but we'll see about that one.
All the best, mate. Speak to you next time.
And you. Thanks.
Every kick, every game, every goal. Full match commentary of Morecambe FC on Beyond Radio. This is Shrimps Live from Beyond Radio.